Hello, and thank you for joining us. I am Tamara Cherry. Just a warning to our listeners that this next segment is going to be talking about the issue of sextortion. And I want to throw that warning out there because I know from personal experience, people in my own life and people I've talked about, people I've read about in the news, that this is a growing problem in this country and countries around the world that families are being faced with. And it is a problem that, unfortunately, our next guest has become very intimately aware of in recent years. Before we get to our next guest, though, just a refresher on some news from over the weekend. A Dutch man accused of tormenting British Columbia teen Amanda Todd via online threats has been found guilty of all charges. This happened on Saturday. These are charges that he faced in connection with the case. The verdict came after 7 weeks of testimony involving dozens of witnesses, exhibits, and evidence presented by Crown prosecutors prior to the start of closing arguments. And it is worth noting that the man that we are talking about, Aidan Coben, his defense lawyer, did not call any evidence in the trial. On the line with us now is Carol Todd, mother of 15-year-old Amanda Todd, who died by suicide on October 10th, 2012. Carol, I can imagine it's been such a roller coaster of emotions for you over the last few days. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Carol, can you just start out by telling us about Amanda? Remind us of what kind of girl she was, what kind of daughter she was. I think it's easy for us to forget that there are people at the center of these cases, especially when they're so technical in these trials.
Oh, the trial was really technical. You know what? When you introduced Amanda, and she's forever 15, and if she were alive today, she'd be 25, turning 26 in this coming November. I remember her, and all of us remember her as a vibrant young teenage girl who loved shopping, who loved makeup, who loved socializing, and what she wanted most was friends who cared about her, who she could trust, and she had a really hard time finding that after the victimization. And then the peer-to-peer bullying, cyberbullying happened. I think she lost all her faith in humankind at that point. But she was spirited. She was energetic. She loved to sing. She loved physical activity. She loved caring about people and especially animals, right? She had a mirage of pets in the house when she was little. So we often forget those things because all we see now is the image of Amanda, right? And not many people, I can say that many of my supporters, almost all my supporters in the courtroom that supported me during the 9 weeks of the trial did not know Amanda personally.
What did that mean to you, Carol, having all these supporters, having all these people gather around you through this process? Because it was... This process, we should point out, it was a long time in the making. This man was extradited from the Netherlands in 2020 to face the charges. You've had a long road here. How has it felt to have that support around you?
Well, it's difficult to explain. I've had support probably from day one since Amanda's death, and with when Amanda put her YouTube video out and after she passed away, the support actually came worldwide, not just within my community of Port Coquitlam, but beyond that, right? And in the trial, people were coming to sit and be with me and to listen from all over different communities. It was just amazing. So this ending of this chapter, I won't say closure, because it's not closure for me. It's just an end of a section of Amanda's story. But lots of people waiting for this trial to happen and the verdict to come out. And I can say that as soon as all the guilty were read out loud and I was able to use my mobile device in that gallery of that courtroom, I posted guilty on all five counts, and it just went viral. Right.
You know, I thank you so much for telling us a little bit about Amanda. And of course, this case was about her, but it's interesting to think about how much has changed with technology since Amanda died, and how much more we're hearing about this stuff now with through Instagram and Facebook and, you know, all these different social platforms that teens use. That I can't help but feel that while this case is about Amanda, that her legacy is going to be about so much more. Do you get that feeling that this will have a ripple effect, that this will send a message and hopefully, you know, have a positive impact in terms of preventing other crimes like this?
I believe so. If you rewatch Amanda's video, it tells a lot of different stories. Right? It tells about her struggles in school. It talks about bullying and cyberbullying, her mental health, the exploitation she had. So we've grasped each little tidbit. Like everyone who watches her video takes away a different piece of it, right? And throughout the 10 years, I've gotten emails and messages from people from all over, as I said, parents, and young people about their struggles with mental health, their struggles with bullying, their struggles with an online person who's harassing them, who's victimizing them, who's threatening them to send out images that they sent out because they trusted the person or thought they trusted. So a lot of education and learning has come out of her story, and a lot of resources have also come out knowing what happened to Amanda, and governments have pushed it beyond that. So I think that her story will continue to flow, if you want to call it that, and changes can and will be made. But you need pushers behind that, right? If I don't say anything or someone else doesn't say anything, Amanda's story just becomes quiet. Mm-hmm. And then we aren't going to be able to learn anything or push any government legislation through if that's needed. We just have to keep talking about it. And when you talk about technology and how it's changed, yes, it's really changed in 10 years. And that's why the online awareness, the online safety measures, we need to keep talking about them. We need to keep talking to them with parents, with young people, with law enforcement, with legal counsels, because they need to know what they're up against. I hate to say this, but these predators are wise beyond us. They know how to hide things. They know how to entrap our kids with simple questions, and our kids just aren't equipped. And I'm not saying it's anyone's fault that they're not equipped. They're young. Their brain development isn't there. They are at mm-hmm. that stage where they just want, right? And mm-hmm. it's immediate gratification. So we have to continue to instill the conversation with our kids and talk with them at, I guess, an even platform, not a top-down parent or top-down school teacher and waggle your finger, and kids will just tune you out at that point, right? Mm-hmm. So much more needs to be done, and we're all going to try and do it together, right?
Carol, you're leading the way on this, and I thank you for that. I can't help but think that there are countless people across this country now, upon hearing your words, that will be having conversations, you know, at eye level with their kids tonight. And when they speak your daughter's name, it will hopefully have a positive impact. So thank you very much, Carol, for sharing a little bit of your daughter, Amanda, with us today, and a little bit about your journey. All the best.
Thank you.
Amanda Todd, it's a name that you've heard before. Keep saying that name, Amanda Todd. Talk to your kids. Push your politicians to pay attention to this issue, the sextortion issue. It is a big one. You know, push social media platforms to the extent that you can.